COVID-19 testing requirements for Canadian residents heading back to Canada from the U.S. after short visits will be waived starting tonight. And senators reintroduce a native lands claim bill, which could grant lands back to 5 Southeast Alaska communities, including Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Mike Swayze. Those stories are up next. The U.S. and Canadian border should be easier to cross for Canadian travelers this week, as the COVID-19 testing requirement for Canadians returning home has been lifted for short trips. Canadians traveling to the U.S. for trips of 3 days or less will no longer need to show proof of a negative COVID test to cross back into their home country as of midnight Eastern Time on Tuesday morning, November 30th. Whitehorse resident Amy O'Connor says she's long overdue for a visit to the Upper Lynn Canal.
My partner and I are super excited to be able to go to either Skagway or Haines simply to just be by the water, soak up a little bit of ocean time. Specifically in Skagway, pretty excited to hit up the brew pub. It's definitely been a while.
The U.S. border was open to all vaccinated Canadian travelers in early November, but the Canadian government still required a negative test result for land travel between the two countries, even though the U.S. border doesn't require one. That made the trip costly for Canadian residents. Each test performed for recreational travel purposes in the Yukon Territories, capital city of Whitehorse, costs over $200 Canadian, and for families that can add up quickly. Now that the Canadian government has eased the testing requirement for Canadian residents, O'Connor says that if road conditions permit, she is planning to visit.
We've been waiting mostly just for the testing requirement to lift for a quick day trip. I would justify it if I wanted to, you know, go to Alaska for more than a few days. But if we just want to go for a quick day trip, it just wasn't really cost effective, and it's a couple more hoops to jump through, right? So that's mostly what I've been waiting for.
The Klondike Highway, however, has seen multiple avalanches in the past couple of weeks, causing road closures and hazardous driving conditions. The latest avalanche on the British Columbia side of the border was cleared on Monday morning. The road from Whitehorse to Haines has several travel advisories as of Monday afternoon, meaning driving conditions aren't ideal. Two local lodges reported an uptick of bookings for this coming weekend, including the White House Inn in Skagway. Owner Chelsea Stone says her guests are excited to come to town to check their boats and hit up Skagway's restaurants.
In the wintertime, we go down from 9 rooms to 5 rooms, and 4 of those 5 rooms are booked with Canadians for the weekend.
The relaxed requirements do not apply to U.S. citizens, so any fully vaccinated Alaskans looking to head to Canada will still need to present a negative molecular COVID-19 test and a completed ArriveCan app to cross the border. A bill that would create new Alaska Native corporations in Southeast Alaska and grant them federal forest lands from the Tongass National Forest has been reintroduced in the U.S. Senate. For more, here's KHNS's Corinne Smith.
Similar legislation has been introduced in the past, and it was already introduced earlier this year in the House. The bill, co-sponsored by Alaska's congressional delegation, would amend the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, allowing formation of 5 new urban corporations in Ketchikan, Haines, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Tenneke. It would grant just over 23,000 acres of land that's now national forest to each of the 5 new corporations. Natives from 5 communities say they were left out of the landmark 1971 law that granted public lands to the for-profit regional, urban, and village corporations. Randy Williams of Ketchikan is part of the Alaska Natives Without Land campaign and president of shareholders in Ketchikan.
It's just not a recent event. It's actually something that we know has been wrong with the way that the final ANCSA bill was passed, and now everybody else is starting to see that. And so, you know, we're real hopeful this time.
The 5 communities did not meet certain requirements for corporation status under the 1971 law. However, other places that also did not meet those requirements were included in the legislation. Williams says the new corporations would be helpful for the five communities and would create jobs and revenue. The land could be used for economic development like tourism, timber, carbon credits, or other uses like food or cultural activities. The subsurface or mining rights would belong to Sea Alaska, the regional Native corporation, which has provided at least $500,000 in seed money to the Landless Natives group. There's wording in the bill that would continue public access for non-commercial hunting and fishing on the land. However, the measure also allows a corporation to restrict access for several reasons, like limiting conflict with a commercial use of the land. Cecilia Tavolaro is president of the Alaska Natives Without Land campaign and would be a shareholder of a new Petersburg corporation. She says the concern she's heard from conservation groups has been that the new corporations would log the land.
We can't speak for the future board when this bill passes, but we have a lot of young people who are very environmentally conscious. And so I'll just leave it at that. We are hopeful, and we hope it will go through committee and then go to markup and go further than it has been before.
Look to Yakutat for the most recent example of logging on Native corporation land that has neighbors and community members upset. Boards of the proposed corporations would decide how to make money off the lands granted in the bill. Petersburg resident Becky Knight remains a vocal critic of the bill.
For years, Murkowski's consistently sought every possible avenue to carve land out of the Tongass and put it in the hands of the timber industry or to privatize it for resource extraction. And the situation as to whether the five communities in her bill were eligible to establish ANCSA corporations were agreed and settled on in ANCSA itself. And so their non-eligibility stood up to land claim attempts in following years.
Besides the potential for logging on the parcels, opponents have been concerned that public access could be restricted in certain situations. Others have asked for certain parcels to remain part of the Tongass, or don't support the transfer of logging roads and other infrastructure that's on the same land. Still others see room for compromise. Meredith Trainer is executive director of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, or SEAC, a Juneau-based conservation group. She says her organization recognizes that the lands that make up the Tongass were unjustly taken from indigenous peoples of Southeast.
SEAC supports the efforts of our Alaska Native partners to advance a meaningful resolution to the claims of the landless communities. Following the introduction of the bill today, we look to the Alaska delegation to lead in the ongoing collaborative effort to advance a solution that will restore balance and honor the sovereignty of the original peoples of these lands.
Senator Lisa Murkowski urged passage of the measure during a hearing in the Senate's Energy and Natural Resources Committee this month. It's part of a larger bill to make changes to the landmark 1971 law. In Haines, I'm Corinne Smith.
4KHNS News, I'm Mike Swayze. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also subscribe to or follow KHNS News anywhere you get your podcasts.